This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, and another Town Hall Academy. I got a great episode for you. We're going to talk about that the call is the close in the sales arrangement or arena, fixing your first impressions. I've got a team from the Transformers Institute here. Thank you so much for being here. 10 years doing this. We sure appreciate your support, not only of our great sponsors, but of the podcast and all the things that we are doing to advance the aftermarket. Let's have a really quick word from our great partners. Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Hey, welcome back. I think we are ready to get started. Let me see. Transformers. Hey, Jen.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Jen and Doris. Jen Davis, a sales training specialist, and Doris Barnes. Same thing? Or you guys do the same thing?
Well, we do have some training that we do together. I do some other things with the company too. But yes, we've done service advisor training, sales training for a very long time, many, many years together.
So Doris, is like this one of the most important things any shop owner could be doing right now?
Yeah, it certainly is, Carm. A lot of times we hear shop owners come to us and say, you know, I need to spend more money on marketing and you know, I just don't understand why we're not getting the car count that we need. And time again, we mystery shop our clients and we find out that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity on the phones and that those marketing dollars are just getting flushed away if we're not intentional about making sure these phones and that first impression that we leave on the customer is a really wonderful one.
Doris, you weren't with us on part one of this, but in part one, Jen was with us, Greg and I, and Jen. I was talking about a restaurant. I was talking about tips, a whole bunch of crazy stuff coming out of my head. When I think about the first impression and you go into a restaurant that you've never been to before, your first impression zones are, they're like way up there. Your greetings, how clean it is, where's the bar, what kind of seating do they have, you know? Oh, it's paper or it's cloth napkins. I mean, you can go all over the place and that whole thing. And then you open up the menu and then your first impressions equate to the $25 BLT, right?
Yeah, Carm, I mean, all the studies show we have about a tenth of a second. It's actually even less than that, but to make a positive first impression. So that what we do, every visual that they see, right? Just like you're saying, we're going to start making judgment calls. And then if it's a phone call, it's how we sound from the very beginning of that interaction. So yes, we make those judgments quickly.
Let's jump into mystery shopping. I had a luxury of listening to a mystery shopping call on a check engine light. The customer says, I got this red light in my world. Red is a warning signal, right? Red's not good. And the service advisor said, hey, listen, I got an opening in 2 weeks and I'm watching the owner crush into his seat, deciding what day he was going to fire this person. You could just see it on that person's face. And your whole point about mystery shopper and the stories that come out of it, what's it going to take to get, you know, a sledge by the side of our owners' heads and realize that this is an important part of grooming and growing our company?
I think sometimes we have to show it to them. You know, and that's the unique position that, of course, Jen and I get to be in. We get that opportunity. But as for the average shop owner out that maybe hasn't yet or doesn't have a Jen and Doris in their back pocket, you really just have to look at this. It is a part of your marketing plan. So a great way to look at a piece of your marketing plan is to take a percentage of that budget and put it into the customer experience. And this is probably the best way to do that. And one of the best ways to do that. $50 to $200 is what it costs to just get the phone to ring. Right. And that doesn't even count bringing them in or paying for training or what you're paying your advisor or what the lifetime value of that customer could be worth to convert them and do a great job. So I don't think most shop owners understand truly the financial implications, but even more importantly than that, the brand damage that can be done from a bad call.
Oh, wow. I just love that word, brand damage. Oh my God, that's so powerful. Let that sink in a moment. Hey, Jen, a great story on a mystery shopper thing that really shocked the hell out of a shop owner. Got one?
And I hear it all the time. I've actually done mystery shopping myself, you know, little exercises here and there to get a pulse on things. And similar to what you were saying with like a check engine light, it's just crazy. I've called hundreds of shops and I've listened to inbound calls as well. But usually, you know, you play the mystery shopper, and this is what I do, keep it really vague, right? See where they're going to take it. Not throw them any bones, not tee them up for a slam dunk, just see where they're going to take the call. And 98% of the time, if you just keep it really vague, I get a price right out of their mouth for some type of diag with zero context, no name exchange, like super transactional, no curiosity or probing questions from that advisor, right? Not a lot of confidence instilled in me as this customer calling in, needing some help in some way or another. So they're just massively missed opportunities. And I mean, we have a service here at Transformers where we actually audit 50 inbound calls a month per shop. And it's redundant like this. And that's our goal, is to change the way and to give them coaching and training to fix those missed opportunities or holes. But lack of rapport, definitely didn't even close, right, for an appointment. A lot of the times too, Carm, you know what I hear is we've got to pay our technicians for their time, which doesn't speak in terms of how I win by any means, right? So there's not a lot of great cost justification when I do these mystery shopping calls. And usually the first thing that blurts out of a advisor's mouth is kind of a flat greeting and usually a number, which is kind of scary.
You said the biggest and most powerful word so far in this episode. You said the word transactional. And because you were vague and you weren't giving up a lot of information and your personality wasn't shining through, the person at the other end of the phone said, oh, they're just shopping, so I'll throw them a number and I got to go on to my next estimate, or, you know, the person who's walking in the door or something like that. We're probably missing the opportunity to say that this person really would like a relationship, but they don't know how.
Exactly. And I mean, we always say this in our classes, especially in this day and age. I mean, there's not a ton of car savvy men and women out there like there used to be in the good old days. So like when they call in and they ask about price, that's just a conversation starter most of the time. You know, they don't know what else to ask. I was in that boat a long time ago. I think I need this. How much? I don't know what else to ask. So we got to be really careful. I get into heated debates, Carm, with shop owners and advisors about this, of not checking a box or prejudging someone and thinking they're just a price conscious, not our ideal avatar. We got to be really careful with that, because a lot of people don't know what else to ask for. So throwing out a number and giving them ammunition to use that for the next 10 shops they call isn't helping anybody.
Doris, what's the scenario where I'm at a party, you know, it's an interesting gathering of people, some friends, some family, and I'm meeting someone for the first time, and I either feel comfortable or I don't, shake hands, we find something to talk about, eye contact, the whole thing. Is part of the training for client advocates that you guys do, is it trying to build a confidence level of saying, listen, you're at a party. The phone call comes in. He says, hi, nice to meet you. Hi, my name is Carm. And they don't say anything else. And you're kind of, if you will, stuck in the middle. Is this going to be an interesting conversation? And I would want to try to get some information from that person, because that's how I am. That's me. There's a bunch of things that you have to do in order to have that person, buy that person on your side, if you will. And again, I keep going back to, we talked about it in the previous episode, Jen. How do you get inside of an individual who is opposite of you? Why do we let the transactional customer win? Hello?
Hello? It's a really good question, isn't it, though? You know, Dale Carnegie, there's a quote that he has in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, that I love. He says, you must have a good time meeting people for them to have a good time meeting you. So one of the things that we share with the service advisors and owners that we work with is, hey, look, if you were to just accomplish in a short period of time, this other person on the other end of the phone to say, I really liked these guys. You know, I really liked that guy, Joe. You've won half the battle. And so we're missing the mark with this. You know, so many times a customer's calling and it sounds like the advisor is having either a bad day or just an average day versus really sounding excited and pleased to welcome this new guest into their home, the shop, so to speak, right? And so I think it's exactly that. And I love that parallel that you gave. It's that you are welcoming a guest into your home, into your shop. And we need to make them feel as though we really want them there. We need to get them to smile, right? Lighten the mood, have fun, and obviously do all the necessary next steps, but be inquisitive. Like you said, ask questions and proactively offer them solutions. You need to be the one leading this interaction, right? A guest comes into your home and calls you and they're coming to the party. You're going to be letting them know everything that they should expect and, you know, let me know when you're here. Joe's going to greet you. And right, we're going to have all these things available to you. You know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, right, it does come back to just, they don't know what they don't know in a lot of cases, these service advisors. They just haven't had the right training.
Ladies, in your training, do you have a segment that you just say, I want everyone to smile for the next 5 minutes? Do you ever do that? Because in my mind, I'm smiling right now, and I'm not sure if my audience can tell that I'm happy and that I'm smiling, because you can feel that over the phone.
And you know what's wild is, like, the advisors always say in our classes, like, smile over the phone. Like, we all know to do it, but it's not happening. That tonality, I know we talked about that in the previous episode, Carm, the inflections in their voice, the excitement, the welcome, the greeting is lackluster at best. It's not consistently done or executed properly on phone calls as well. Like, we'll audit calls and there'll be some that were great and, you know, a lot of others that miss the mark. So the consistency is huge too, of just always being on your A game. But yes, we share studies about how if you don't have visual aids at the point of sale, right? The sale in this case is an appointment per se for this scenario. We share all those kinds of psychological components. So the advisors truly understand, I need to be doing this. Like, I know I should be doing this, but I really need to be executing it because this is a first impression. It's make or break in such a short period of time.
Let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on-site. Yep, on-site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Transform your team with today's class, where automotive training is easy, quick, and fun. Just 5 minutes a day on our app can eliminate hours of looking up forgotten information later. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Keep critical knowledge fresh and top of mind, ensuring your team operates at peak efficiency. Today's class is impactful, accessible from anywhere, and a bit of fun too, and we're not talking about after-hours pizza either. For training that gets results, turn to todaysclass.com. You have a great talking point here, how we unintentionally train customers to be price shoppers. God, I want to hear that.
Based off of the hundreds and hundreds of calls we listen to, it's wild that there's so many variations of ways we tell our customers or callers no. But in addition to that, when we just give a blanketed number, you know, not maybe like an easy menu item that we're allowed to, you know, quote over the phone, but like a scenario, like maybe a water pump or something that they think they need replaced. When we give them that ammunition, we're just training our callers to take that, call the next shop and try to get them to undercut us. So we're missing the opportunity to build value in our services. We're missing the opportunity to educate these callers on why a price for something such as a water pump wouldn't be in their best interest ethically even to do over the phone. We're not even empathizing with them that we realize they are price conscious, but we are just spewing out numbers on vehicles we've never seen and basically tell them to call the next guy.
Being able to tell a potential client at the other end of the phone that I just got a great specialist in the bays who does, you know, great work on water pumps. We've just set an expectation by just saying that, oh, I had no idea people could be specialists in water pumps. Think about that. That just set some kind of bar inside of the mind of the individual. So listen, there may be other work that we need to do. There may be some belts, there may be some hoses, there may be some other attachments to this thing. Let's work up an estimate, or can you bring the vehicle in? What's going on tomorrow at 10 o'clock for you? Can you bring it in? Never giving the individual a chance to say no or how much, but set up the stuff. And again, you're the experts. I'm not. That's why you're here. I love that we have to stop the price to be the main issue and the no, like, and trust. And one more thing, quality of workmanship somewhere along the line has got to be part of this. And we talked in the last episode, ASE certified, we have all kinds of training and certifications. What are we doing to say we're better and we're different?
That's a great point. You know, the one thing people can't go anywhere else, you can't go down the street to this other five-star shop. They can't get us. They can't get our people. They can't get that gifted tech in the back, like you said, right? And so I think it's so important that we do have that conversation, if not every single time that we're on the line with a customer or a new caller, right? Why should they come and see us? What's going to be the mic drop moment, so to speak? Well, first of all, they've got to really like you. And that's what we talked about already, right? We've got to really get them to smile and go, you know what? I really like these people. I think I'm in the right place. If I go in and do business with them, I bet it's going to be a great experience. That's a feeling they're going to have, and they're going to have it quickly. But after that, okay, what is it that sets us apart, right? And that is the gifted people that we have. Really nothing else can trump that. And so I think when we can take a moment and we can share with the customer, we want to make sure you get the right solution, not just the cheapest one. But let me tell you why I know you're in the right place with the right people, right? There are a lot of different places you could call. Let me tell you a little bit about Joe, our Honda specialist in the back. You know, let me tell you who this guy is and how he pours his heart into his work. And, you know, he treats every car like it's the family members. And he just really cares about what he does. This guy's a gift, right? Master certified, right? If you have that kind of a conversation, why is somebody going to want to go elsewhere? And you better bet if they do, at the moment that a mistake happens at that shop, guess where they're going to be?
Yeah, right
on your doorstep or picking up that phone to call.
Let's talk about that. So much of what we talk about in sales advisor training, client advocate training is about that first time caller. We're trying to set them up to know us, to love us, to trust us. And we get this person and they come in and we do a great job. Everything right, soup to nuts. They call the second time, 4 or 5 months later, something, another car. Do we talk enough about in our training what happens at interaction two and then interaction three? And then when does that person that become a customer or a client? And in my mind, we keep talking about, so I've got top people. How do I keep the customers top with my people? Do we ever get lazy at the counter knowing this person's been here before and we did all our great work in call one?
We do. Yeah. We do all too often, right, Jen? And I'll let Jen will comment on this as well. But one of the things that we teach, Carm, you're spot on, is that we have to market, and part of marketing is our phones and how we engage them on that first interaction. We have to market to, we say, the third visit. Because that third visit, the percentage and the likelihood of them actually being a true customer and choosing us as their home for their auto repair needs goes by about 30 or 40% is what it goes up by from the time the second visit happens. And so it's a really big jump. So we have to be extremely intentional. I mean, every time the customer comes in, but what are we doing, right? And do we have a way to know that this person is a second time in person? And what are we going to do to really work to get them to come in that third time? And I think that needs to be a system in place for that.
We always say we're always furthering the cause. Like anytime someone calls in, every touch point, I mean, even if it's just been a couple hours between when they dropped off the car and when they're coming back in to pick it up, we're still always furthering that cause of establishing a stronger relationship and connecting with them and building rapport and making them feel constantly that they're working with the right people. Because there's nothing worse, Carm, than they come and pick up the car and they've swiped their credit card and morning Jen was so fabulous, but afternoon Jen is on to the next, you know, sale. That's like the worst feeling in the world. So this consistent, you know, experience needs to be not only top notch, but no matter who's engaging with the client, no matter what location they go to, because they could go to different locations that you may own, they're getting that same feeling, that same experience. And it doesn't matter if it's on the phone or in person.
Empathy, education, reasoning. You guys say those are the three pillars of phone skills and success.
I mean, one of the things that Jen and I see, and it's consistent, Carm, is that we have a report card. It's about 70 different grading points when we're looking at an incoming call. And the one that advisors always score the lowest in without fail is empathy. Every single time. And not until they really work hard at it do they start getting that needle to move. And a part of that is just that as service advisors, they're managing and juggling a bunch of different things. They're keeping a bunch of balls in the air. You've got someone standing in front of them and someone else on the phone and a tech waiting to get an update. And they get stuck in this transactional, there's that word again, mode. And they just stop really being conscious about it. And so they don't stop when somebody doesn't get the appointment time that they hope for and empathize. They don't stop and say, you know what? I'm so sorry, Carm. I know you wanted to bring it in at 2 today. I apologize that we couldn't do that. You know what? I tell you what, I know you called because you want to get this solved. Let's look at some other solutions. How about, you know, let me ask you this. Is it just transportation that you need? What could we do tomorrow morning? Right? We're trying to really move mountains. That's the feeling we want this customer to have.
I want to help you.
Yes.
Maybe that's the word for empathy. I want to help you mode. I'm sorry. I believe some people don't know what empathy means. Of course, you can tell them the story about hitting your hand and, you know, oh, I feel for you. No, you don't. Let me hit your, you know, let me give you the same pain that I have. Now that's empathy. And if an individual has a really wonderful life, everything's great. No problems. No problems at home. They eat everything that they, no, everybody is a tough thing. So yeah. Wow.
I'll hear calls, Carm, that we're auditing and it'll be someone on the side of the road. You can hear cars flying by. They're calling. You can hear the panic in their voice. They don't know what happened. They're calling for help. And I'll hear service advisors just blow right through that. Not even take a moment to be like, are you okay? You know, this is really unfortunate. I'm sure this is really scary, but you know what? You've called the right company. I've got a tow partner. Whatever the situation calls for, we blow through. Even like extreme scenarios teed up like that on the phone. It's wild.
Okay. So all I can think about for the last 5 minutes of discussion is the environment that we're working in. And is that environment conducive enough for me to bring empathy to that call? Or is there this spiral going on, an end of day, got to get it going. We have deadlines to meet and we don't stop for a moment and let the air out of the balloon, fill it up and go as if it was 7:30 in the morning and this is a brand new opportunity. I'm not sure I'm right here, but I think we have to do some environment assessment.
We sure do.
Absolutely. I mean, there's like a twitch, like service advisors have twitches, like just waiting for that next call, right? There's this pressure of juggling all those balls, handling the phones, dealing with the customers, calling people back. I get it. Like, I get why it's hard to just do the basics of like showing, I want to help you, right? Over the phone, because there's just so many moving parts. So I believe we kind of touched on that in the first episode with Greg, Carm, is if the advisors don't have that time, you know, to spend with these people on the phone, we're missing a ton of opportunity here, right? They're just being rushed. A lot of these calls I listen to, right, Doris, 30, 40 seconds, that's it. That's it. I don't know how we can build a lot of value, educate someone, start to create a relationship or connection and give reasoning, you know, for whatever you're trying to explain in 30 seconds. I don't know how that's possible.
How many owners say, either one of you, Jen, Doris, look, they're complaining about not having enough time. This is, I'm with you. I totally agree. Do you pick up the phone, talk to the owner and say, we need to pull off some kind of assessment, some kind of evaluation. You may be ready for a half timer or another full time individual, maybe just a customer service rep who maybe, I don't know, all these great definitions that we have as to, and what jobs that they all perform. But sooner or later, if you're going to grow, if the business has a 15% growth number and you can't keep doing it with the same two or three people. My point is there's a crash and burn, you know, zone before you have to stop that. We need people to end up doing this. And I guess it in the back of my mind, as we think about client advocate training, there's got to be some metrics that come out of this thing that the owner needs to. Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. We have had just a terrible month. Things are falling off the table. We're not getting things done. Our QC isn't working. And it all because you've got one or two people trying to do this heavy lift.
That's such a critical point. If you want to provide five-star service and get five-star reviews, we need to think in turn. Think about an experience you have at a five-star restaurant, a five-star resort. We need to spend, I mean, the numbers prove that 50 minutes to 60 minutes per customer is how much time we have to have for that interaction, start to finish. You know, that includes greeting them, taking the initial call, doing the car delivery, spending enough time to build value in the services, calling them with regular updates. That's a pretty real number. Now, you know, some shop owners have a different philosophy. It's bring in more cars and, you know, spend less time with the customer. Well, you're working harder, not smarter in that case. And I think that that's, you know, not going to do well to stimulate those five-star reviews that you're after and really build this exceptional brand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a trade-off, but we'll see when we do that is we all know that the value of one customer singing our song and saying good things or telling their coworkers or their neighbors, their family members is worth way more than it is to continue to market and chase the next customer with an oil change coupon, right? So it just depends on what we want to build. But if we want to do five star, you're absolutely right. You know, 8 to 10 cars a day where we're spending an hour per customer is what those metrics show. Per advisor, of course, 8 to 10 per advisor.
Sure. No problem, Jen, Doris, sitting down with an owner and saying, I think you need to add to your staff.
No problem at all.
You've been able to see, I mean, you're working with their people, you're here. They may be telling you things that they don't tell the owner about, you know, the crashing and burning that's going on around them and that they don't have enough time to truly get their job done at least 101%.
Yeah. And Carm, think about this. Jen and I say this all the time. If the advisor is, think about now they're learning some new training on top of their job. So they're going to take, let's say, training that they come to that we teach, and then they're going to go back and they're going to need to implement it and they're going to need to crash and burn and they're going to need to practice scripts and role play and do all these things to really internalize these new behaviors and create habits. That takes time too. And so, yes, it is up to leadership to make sure that we are providing those opportunities and the advisors are going to need to do. If you want to be a superstar, you got to put time in off the clock. I mean, there's just no question about it. These advisors need to go home. They need to role play in front of the mirror or with their dog, whatever they need to do, right, to get their skill set up. But it's also the ownership needs to be aware of what's going on and what do they really want out of this experience for their customer. And I mean, it all goes hand in hand.
Jen, is the tide changing? Owners are getting way more on board with the service advisor training?
I think so. As long as they stay engaged, you know, it's one thing to invest in your people and, you know, they come back and start out on a high. But, you know, I always do these like post-course shop owner kind of debriefings to remind them about the key things they need to check and do over the course of, you know, the next year. I mean, we can't just expect someone to go to any type of training, you know, swallow it all, memorize it within 3 days, and then go to work and just be a master of it. So they need to listen to calls. And I know that takes time. And I know there's tons of services, whether you're going with AI or humans out there that can help, but it really truly is an investment of your time to listen to inbound calls and not only get coaching or training or tips to improve those, but continually audit them. And that takes time, but it's well worth the investment. And it's funny, it's like, you know, once they hear it, they believe it. So they finally understand what we mean by, you know, when you shoot from the hip with an inbound call and you don't really have a protocol to follow or like a procedure, then that call can go completely sideways. You may even end up wasting 7 minutes and never even get an appointment versus the alternative of spending 30 seconds on it and still losing the appointment. So it's well worth the time investment for all parties.
Doris, is it about the personality of the service advisor, client advocate more than anything else? If they're a people person and they have a level of caring built into them, are they going to be the best for our counters? Because we're hiring people. I don't know if I mentioned this in the last episode, but I went to a restaurant and had this great waiter. I offered him a job. They came in because they were so good. They cared to the nth degree. Now they came in, they're lacking some knowledge, but that's okay. We probably can teach them some technology on the vehicle. Is that personality easier to conform and to train than an individual who's a lump on a log?
Jen's laugh.
Excuse my vernacular.
It is, right? I mean, we all know, we go see, like you said, you have that server that you go, wow, you just know they're supposed to deal with people. Anytime we can capture that person and bring them into our world as a shop owner, you're going to win. But to your point, I mean, for somebody that's a lump on a log, can it be trained? Sure. But it takes so much more work. So much more. And that person's really got to want it. They've got to work hard. They've got to stretch. It's like the rubber band analogy, right? They're stretching themselves and they just want to come back over here, but they're stretched and they just want to come back. And we can fake it to make it. We can be good actors and actresses, and that can eventually rub off and actually really change people. But as a shop owner, I would want to start with somebody who had the natural talent for people.
I think of the word good stock, making a good soup, making a good gravy, Italian gravy. You got to have good stock. And so a shop owner calls you guys up, you know, you're their coaching company, you're their training company, and says, I need to hire somebody. Do you have the good stock discussion with them?
We do, don't we, Jen? There's a list that we look for, and we...
Your traits that you're looking for, right?
Looking for certain traits in their personality type. Jen, tell them how we interview service advisors sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that for so many years, Carm, and it starts to kind of get to a point of just intuition, you know, and not that I'm some crystal ball reader or anything, but I feel like I've spoken to so many advisors over the years. It's kind of sometimes obvious to me on phone calls that this person's heart's not into it, right? Or they're being drugged to the altar, or it's just, you know, yapping just to appease what I want to hear. It's not authentic, you know, it's not coming from their heart. And sometimes that's hard for shop owners to see that, feel that, sense that. I feel like I have a decent knack for reading people sometimes just due to my experience over the decades. But yeah, I mean, and then you got to look at their ethics, right? Like, do they really like helping people? Do they want to have a positive touch in their community? Are the brain cells there, right? Like, can they do tasks, multitask, and are they willing to get uncomfortable? You know, because that's the only way we're going to change, right? Is we got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So that vulnerability, that want, and that open mind kind of concept to learn new things and try new things. And even if we fail, we'll pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and keep charging. I mean, I feel like that's part of the good stock we're looking for.
This has been so interesting. I know we covered a lot of great areas. Are you both teaching these courses?
Yeah. So we have in-person classes. For example, next week, we're doing a three-day
intensive. What the hell is an intensive? Is that the deep end of the pool?
Well, they're there.
It's the deep end. It is a fun, but very informative three-day, like live class we do for service advisors, managers, owners. We have estimators come to this, or customer care, call center people come to this. Doris and I will co-present that. And we do that all over the country.
TransformersInstitute.com. And is there a special tab, a link there that they can find all about your training?
You know what they should look at is TSMUniversity.com. So we've launched some new options besides our very popular three-day course. So if they want to do as if it's Transformers Sales Mastery. So TSMUniversity.com. that'll be the class that'll direct them there. But then, yeah, Carm, we now have remote continuous learning options. If we can't make it in person, we have different tiers of accountability and role playing and follow through and training we can offer.
Exactly like continuous education. Go sharpen your saw.
Yep.
To do it.
Sharpen your saw.
Sharpen the saw.
Listen, this was great. You guys got to come back and we got to share some great stories and good concepts and strategies again. Thank you, Jen Davis, Doris Barnes from TransformersInstitute.com and TSMUniversity.com.
Yes.
How exciting is that? You guys are on fire.
Thanks.
Thank you for this. The call is the close. Fixing first impressions. This was a blast. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us,
Carm. See you soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.